To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Good morning, everybody. Patrick in Lafayette, Louisiana says, "Hey, Art, I thought the Bible code was amazing, but this takes the cake. If this is completely true, this DNA code will change people. It'll make people that don't believe in God believe. This code can change the world, connect people." Patrick in Lafayette, Louisiana. I suppose if everybody bought it, if everybody believed it, if everybody understood it, it would in fact do that. We'll be right back.
Experts.
I'll tell you, it would indeed change the world, wouldn't it? But you see, we have these people that, these fanatics who believe what they believe, and they are so very dedicated to their belief, and the fact that we don't share it with them, that they're willing to kill themselves and take us with them. I wonder if there's any way, Greg, that you can envision this message could be taken to those who wish us such ill.
My sense is, Art, that based on what we know about the field that connects all things, the way it connects all things, it's not that they have to be convinced of anything. I've seen under laboratory conditions, we've seen the experiments in major U.S. cities, when a certain number of people shift the way that they feel about themselves and their world, the whole benefits from that, because we're all linked into the same field. We're all linked into the same consciousness.
Oh.
This is what the studies at Princeton University were all about,
exactly.
GCP, Global Consciousness Project.
Right. I'm watching that like a hawk.
Mm.
And that's kind of what allows me to buy into the whole thing, really, in a lot of ways. I'm beginning, I think, to grasp and understand this universal consciousness that seems connected, absolutely connected. That's all there is to it. I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. I've seen it demonstrated. It seems real. So you're saying that once this is understood by enough people, it will be shared at a level that we don't exactly understand yet, but nevertheless shared.
Maybe not even on a conscious level.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that studies have shown, Art, is we seem to be at our best when something unites us. And in the past, it's always been a tragedy. When there's a tragedy, we seem to break down those barriers that separate us in the past, and we work together towards a greater good. My question writing the book is, does it have to be a tragedy that brings us together? Can there be a piece of information that is so empowering and so fresh and holds such a possibility that maybe it has the same effect? And
it's
if so,
good question.
Could a message in ourselves have that effect?
Right. First-time caller live.
Morning, Greg.
Calling from Alaska. Hi, Greg. Yeah. Boy, you're after my heart here. I've been studying this for 35 years, and I came upon it upon a life-death experience 35 years ago, and I laid there for 3 hours in a cardiac arrest just seeing the parable of the Bible and what it means. And now is the time that it's meant to be released.
Mm.
I believe that intensely, but I see the simplistic side. You see the more of a complex side. I look at the Bible as no more than an owner's manual to the temple of God, which is you, and we are the greatest riddle upon this face of the planet. And we're just beginning to... I can go on and on and on here, and I'd really like to get your number and talk to you in depth more after.
Well, I don't know that we can arrange that for you, but we can arrange perhaps a way to contact Greg Braden now. Greg, you've got a website. Obviously, there's sure. going to be some way to contact you. Do you want to give out your email?
Sure. Well, it's on the website, gregbraden.com.
Right.
Greg with two G's, and there's contact information on there. I'm on the road, so it all goes through my office in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
All right. All right, so if they want to get in touch with you, go to gregbraden.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Or oh, no, wait. It says www.gregbraden.net.
Either one.
Oh, either one.
Either one goes, we got them all going to the same place.
All right, www.gregbraden.net.
My sense is, Art, as we get into deeper layers of the code, we're going to see that owner's manual in a way that that may be even clearer than we've ever seen it before, encoded right into the creation itself.
Once again, you wouldn't like to speculate on what's to come, would you?
My sense is that I think we're going to find a replica of some of our most cherished textual traditions encoded into the cells of our bodies, including some of the papyrus that we found in Egypt, the actual language of those, the mystical language that we've seen as the basis of those traditions. I wouldn't be surprised to see them encoded into the cells of all life.
You don't suppose they might find what was inscribed on tablets as well as now cells, do you?
It's a possibility, and I'll just be very, very clear, Art. I haven't seen that yet, so I don't want to imply that I have. But
no, I asked you for speculation.
Sure. Well, when I'm looking for patterns, what we find is the same number of letters in very specific portions of those texts we find in very specific places in the codes of our cells. So it's interesting that the number of letters are there, that many of the numbers translate the same, though they have not been translated into the text as of yet.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Hi.
Hi, this is Vinny from Avon Lake, WTAM.
Yes, Vinny.
And I think that if his research is going to be confirmed, he's making the fuel for two very controversial fires. First of all, Darwinism...
Where'd he go? Where'd you go, buddy? Let's try it again. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Good.
Yeah,
got
can
cut
you
off
me?
For a moment. Yes.
Okay. The theory of creation versus Darwinism. Right now, there's a Board of Education controversy in Kansas, and a bunch of scientists are boycotting the hearing because their hearts are set on Darwinism, you know.
Yes.
And the other thing is genetic engineering, and Greg is feeding fuel to the fire of, I don't know, you could call it blasphemy to be tampering with our genetic code. So I was wondering if he'd care to comment on either of those issues.
Let's tackle both. Sure. You know, the whole evolution creation thing.
Well, first of all, this is one of the reasons, again, the code, I translated the first part of this code in 01. I went through some personal things, as you can imagine, processes in coming to terms with how I wanted to release it.
Yeah, I bet.
And the best way to do this, I had people ask me to do it as a very technical white paper that would have been reviewed for six plus years. Others said just write a book. I took a middle of the road. The white paper is still being developed. Both of those, both Darwinism, creationism, I address in the book. As well as many other implications, and I'm acknowledging they're all there. For me, I'm simply sharing what I found, and I'm saying this is an unprecedented principle of unity, and that's my focus.
But it would conclusively point to intelligent design.
Precisely, and this is when we go back into Darwin's work. So many people like to quote Darwin as being in favor of his own theories, and in fact, in his book, Origin of Species, he questioned his own theories. He said, even I believe that the complexity of life is almost too great to have come purely from natural selection. And he uses the example of an eye, where he says to assume that the eye arose purely by natural selection, his term is absurd. He said there's something else going on. Darwin said that himself. So people like to quote Darwin to support their theories of evolution, when in fact Darwin was very open when he said there's probably something else going on. Francis Crick says the same thing.
All right. Now we have decoded our genetic mystery, and we're now on the edge of tampering with our genetic mystery. And if, in fact, it is, as you suggest, written by our designer, then our tampering with that message, well, I don't know. It just would seem inadvisable. The caller used the word blasphemy.
What will be interesting, Art, is when we can actually take the entire code as it becomes translated into text, and when we go about splicing a piece here or splicing a piece there to see what it actually says to the text, I think we'll have the answer to what we're asking. But the flip side of this, it's what the military medical personnel were asking me. They're saying, can we take tissue, convert that tissue, the DNA in that tissue, into a sequence so the tissue can actually tell us what it's expressing, what the cancer is saying or what the Down syndrome is saying to us? And if we are artificially doing this, then we're going to be able to answer our own question. We're going to see what sentence we're writing back to our bodies, and if it makes sense to do that or not.
So maybe they'll take the cancer out, examine it, take the code, apply it, and it'll say something like, "I told you not to smoke."
Well, the implications, I mean, we can intuit what our bodies are saying, and we can read the chemical codes of what our bodies are saying. But
yes.
I mean, think if we could actually communicate with diseased tissue through the language of English or whatever language we convert it into, so that we can actually have a two-way conversation with our bodies. I mean, the implications are just mind-boggling.
Talking
absolutely
to tissue. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Good morning.
Yes, hi, Greg.
Good morning.
First thing I'd like to say is God bless you for what you're doing.
Well, it's good for me to hear that this morning. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I got so excited, I called one of the ministries about this. I mean, I'm just jumping up and down over this. And, you know, I've been with Jesus himself, and I'll tell you what, he loves us so much. And he would want us to know this. And I think this is his way. I think what Art said, you are going to change the world with this.
Well, we'll give people a reason to change. I know that. I appreciate your support this morning. Well,
yes, so do I. Very interesting stuff. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Hi.
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 West of the Rockies?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Alan from Ronald Park.
Yes.
Hi, Art. Hi, Greg.
Good morning.
Well, I am so glad to talk to you.
Well, I'm happy to hear your voice. You have a question for me this morning.
I have two things I want to run by you. I wanted to ask you. First of all, are you aware? Well, this is what I believe. I have been doing research on the symbol of the twin snakes and the caduceus and how it relates to our DNA, the symbol of our DNA, the strands.
Sure.
And I believe that we've known since the beginning of time about the sacredness of DNA or the sacredness in symbolism.
Mm.
And because it's everywhere in ancient times, and we've never really been able to figure out exactly what they were saying with all of these snakes and finding Western civilization demonized snakes, so we didn't get very far, I don't think. And I was going to ask you what your opinion is about that. Somehow it was instilled in us somewhere along the line, just as a symbol before language, as something sacred. And, hello?
Yeah, sorry.
And were you aware of that?
Well, certainly.
I thought maybe you might be. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, first of all, I will say this, and I think you'll agree with me. God reveals in his time what we need to know, and he's a revealing God. And I think what you're doing is wonderful. And I wanted to ask you something about Genesis 1 and 2, where God says he created he male and she female in his own image. And then in Genesis 2, he forms them, the male and female, and they're separate there. But then he says, the man shall leave his family and cleave to his wife, and they shall be as one.
Ma'am, I don't think Greg Braden is a biblical expert.
No.
If you want to comment on this, Greg.
Well, I wanted to ask him if he thought that was a representation of mankind being together as one.
All right. Hold it right there.
Three questions there.
Yeah.
So first the symbols, universal symbols for DNA. You know, we are just getting ready to go back into Tibet, where in those 1,500-year-old monasteries, they teach an entire medical system based on 70 drawings that have been around since who knows when.
Right.
And in those drawings, they're showing DNA as the double strands. We find it on the temples in Egypt. I know other guests have talked about this. All through the desert southwest, it is a universal symbol, and it seems that that we have known of this form for a long time, and it has been symbolized in a number of ways. When we get into the question about the book of Genesis, our Western biblical text, the best scholars will openly admit, is incomplete at best. It's been edited a number of times. And when we go back to the original text, the Gnostic texts, the text from the Mandaeans, for example, the Gnostic sect that has survived in the modern times, where we see in a paragraph or two, they offer in page after page after page that describes the creation of our bodies separately from the creation of our souls, and man and woman being created equally simultaneously. And maybe this is one of the reasons why that book was edited so heavily by the early church in the 4th century.
And together as one?
Together as one, precisely. In the Mandaean text, in the Gnostic text, in the beginning, what it says is that Adam and his female counterpart were created simultaneously and knew one another essentially as brother and sister and were not drawn to one another. And it was only when Adam was put into what they called the deep sleep, and he awoke and beheld the beauty of Eve, the second female counterpart, that he was drawn to her. Our text, as good as it is, and our biblical text is good, it simply is highly condensed, takes all that and describes it in a couple of sentences.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. I have two questions, if time allows, for Greg.
All right.
Greg, this is Blair in Sedona, Arizona. How you doing?
Well, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, humanity is supposed to know thyself, and we do this through time. Jose Arguelles, the Mayan Factor author, sort of says that time is like a form of information biology. You know, in other words, Greg, time informs life. You know, the word inform is to place the form within. So from the form within, like from the inside out, we live and externalize that form. And you basically said that earlier with the God code. And my question to you, the first question, is how does time work as a factor for the God code?
Okay. And there's a second question?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Well, the second question has to do with sacred geometry and the structure of our consciousness and how we can, you know, the Drumvello Melchizedek flower of life situation where consciousness is actually takes shapes and forms and how we actually will change our consciousness when we change our shapes and forms.
Sure. Well, I'll answer the second one first.
Okay.
Dr. John Wheeler from Princeton University, he was a contemporary of Einstein's, he's still with us today, is offered what to Western science is a radical new concept of consciousness. And what he's saying is that it is consciousness that actually is creating our universe. He says we're living in what we call a participatory universe where we may never find the edge of creation because every time we look, consciousness places something there for us to see. Every time we look to find the smallest particle of creation, we'll never find it because the act of looking is the act of creation, of putting something there for us to see. So this is consciousness creating through the form that we call geometry, and life is where the sacred aspect of that comes from, the sacred geometry.
All right, I think the other question was on time.
Sure, Jose Arguelles, I'm very familiar with his work. He's a neighbor of ours just up in Colorado. We live in northern New Mexico. His relationship, biology and time, are closely intertwined, and I think it may answer one of the questions that came up earlier in our evening this evening. Why now? Why would we find this information now? Why didn't we find it 50 years ago or 30 years ago? And I think it's because precisely where we are in our technological adolescence that Carl Sagan defined. We've tapped the forces of nature. We now have the ability to preserve or destroy all that we cherish as a civilization.
Yes.
And within that context, we now have a key that says the reasons we've destroyed one another in the past based on our differences, those reasons are now obsolete. Will we embrace that message? And I think that's the question that time is asking us.
All right. Well, time relates in another way. We're breaking here, Greg, but I think it's a race, you know, a kind of a race between the possible self-annihilation that technology would allow, and the realization, the universal realization of the message that you bring tonight, the God code, as it were. It's a race. Which one gets here first? And if you look around you today, all around you, Iraq and the rest of the world, which side right now do you think is winning that race? Think about it during the break. That's the race. On the one side, we've got God eternal within the body, perhaps somewhat as yet unrealized. And on the other side, we've got war, which in this modern technological age means the end of all.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and if that's the race, well, as you look around the world right now, if you answer absolutely honestly, which side do you think is winning right now? My guest is Greg Braden. His book is The God Code, The Secret of Our Past, The Promise of Our Future. Well, I wonder if it's a promise. Greg, as I mentioned, we're in a race. I think you would agree with that, acknowledging the possibility of blowing ourselves to smithereens. So if you consider that we're in that race and you look around the world right now, how are we doing?
Well, I'm going to preface my answer by saying I'm an optimist, Art, and you know that from talking to me in the past. I had this conversation with an Air Force colonel on a flight that I took just within the last few weeks. He ended up sitting next to me on the plane. Mm-hmm. We had 3 hours to talk about precisely what we're talking about now. And what we both found is that there are two very different ways that are unfolding right now of trying to achieve the same goal. There's a military solution to try to achieve peace. And there are people changing consciousness to try to achieve peace, and they're both playing out simultaneously. And the possibility came to me that maybe the way we've always tried to achieve peace in the past, through war, maybe what we're doing, and I'm not saying it's right, wrong, good, or bad, or that I agree or disagree, but it may be that we've bought ourselves some time using the old ways of doing it, allowing the new ways to become firmly anchored in place, and that there's a convergence point where these two meet. And I think we're defining that time right now. It's a different way of thinking about it, isn't it?
It is indeed. and also somewhat evasive.
Well, I think, but I'm encouraged by some things. You can't base it on what we see in the news, because the news focuses only on certain...
The negative.
Yeah,
only
on the negative. There are a lot of very good things. I'm seeing people all over the world people in every nation, people are ready for peace. They're ready for more than the war and the suffering of the 20th century, but the thinking is out there. I think it's within a relatively small number, a handful of people that are still trying to achieve peace through the old methods of war. And I think that as consciousness changes, just like the Berlin Wall fell, just like the thinking in our world, in our country, changed so quickly just a couple of years ago, I think it can happen that quickly. I think we're going to wake up one morning and we're going to say, you know, this war just doesn't make any sense any longer. War in general. Half of the world's nations are involved in armed conflict.
That'll be an interesting day, Greg.
It will. Let's do a program that day.
Yeah. First time caller line, you're on the air with optimist Greg Braden.
Hi, Art and Greg.
Hi.
Morning.
I have tracked down an amazing Chinese medical doctor who's in China and Russia at times, who has discovered something absolutely incredible about the nature of DNA. He has found that DNA is only a cassette with recorded information whose actual material carriers are bioelectromagnetic signals. And basically, the electromagnetic field and the DNA together make up combined genetic material, one being the DNA, which is passive, and the other being the transmitting form, which is able to modify it.
Well, then what are all those damn electric lines doing to us?
But then he's gone on to prove it. He developed a Star Trek-like technology that's a 9-foot diameter copper or gold, either one, sphere, which is also known as a cabinet, that you step into, and there's a place for a recipient to sit and a place to put a donor. And he used his dad, who was 80 years old at the time, as a recipient, and he used a young, healthy mouse as the donor. And his father's a tooth that had fallen out 20 years ago just sprouted out of his bone in his jaw. His bald areas went, you know, got hair.
Well, this is all fascinating. Where is it written? Where can one find out?
I will email you this because it's so mind blowing what he's done for different diseases using young wheat plants.
So he's claiming he can actually manipulate genetic.
Yes.
Coding. All right, I've got it. Thank you very much. I'll look forward to that email, and I will share it with the audience. Had you heard anything about that, Greg?
Well, I have not heard it from this doctor. There are other researchers right here in our own country. Dr. Bruce Lipton, for example, has found something very similar. He's found that the membrane of the cell translates what's in the field around us into what we find in the DNA of our cells. So the membrane takes that electromagnetic information and translates it into whatever DNA is. Now that we can read DNA, DNA says God within the body, suggesting that the stuff that's out there in that field is whatever it is before it's in the body. So if the DNA is saying God within the body, then the field is simply a God, whatever and however we interpret that to be.
But you agree there could be electromagnetic influence of some sort?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Electromagnetic is part of it, and it goes even beyond that. It goes into scalar kinds of information for the engineers listening out there.
Gotcha. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Hi.
Hello, Art. It's a pleasure to be on your show. My name is Michael. Greg, I'd like to talk to you about a few things. I don't think you're aware of it, but I believe that you may very well be the next Oppenheimer in history. It seems like what you're talking about is not so much a message, but possibly the Tetragrammaton. This Yahweh, is actually the Jewish Tetragrammaton, Yud Heh Vav Heh, for the unspeakable name of God. And this is supposed to be the name that God spoke when creation was manifested. And it's believed that if mankind ever actually understands this name and is able to pronounce it, that all life in the universe would cease to exist. This is a very strong part of Jewish mysticism and Kabbalah, and I'm wondering if you're aware of this and if you're aware of the possible ramifications of the work that you're doing, that you may not actually be decoding a message, but you may actually be undoing
lighting a
creation
fuse
itself. Exactly.
Lighting a fuse, yeah, okay. What about it, Greg?
The answer, I'm aware of that. That's one of the reasons that we took so long speaking with many experts, including many rabbis, in the field about the interpretation of those traditions and those texts, and precisely what it is that they say to us. To translate a code of this nature requires something that is called a primer. Once we find the way the code works with one word, we can, if we can find that word in other places in the code, it tells us what we need to do. It appears that the name, the ancient name of God that you're referring to, is that primer. Once we found that primer in one part of the code, as we look for that in other places, it tells us what parameters have to be in place.
But what about the danger?
Okay, I asked the rabbis this question, and at least I have not spoken with every rabbi in the world, obviously. The ones we've spoken with said that that was a human interpretation of those texts and those scriptures, that the scriptures don't actually say that. That is the human interpretation.
Okay.
And there are other places where the interpretation is just the opposite. To be fair, and for the listeners who are listening tonight, there are places in those old texts that say when we use any other name other than the name of God that we find that was revealed on Mount Sinai or that we find in our bodies, if we use another name, that it is a dishonoring or disrespect of that creative force in our bodies. So we find it going both ways.
All right.
Very interesting.
Yes. East of the Rockies, your turn with Greg Braden. Hello.
Art, thanks so much for working to the Beatles in tonight's incredibly important subject.
You're very welcome.
The only one you missed was Lennon's Across the Universe.
Mm.
Guys, I love this subject because it represents the world's ultimate paradox, or maybe division. It's become understood that the ultimate divine in most religions, like mostly Western, cannot be defined by logic, but rather should simply be felt through the spirit or soul through the definition of the word that we call faith. Yet it was logical science of thought, philosophy, that first introduced an above-all, end-all entity that must exist simply because the mind of man recognized it. To go back to the reference of the Quran, its diehard worshippers, like those in Jakarta, praise medicine, astronomy, and mathematics as arts that give direct glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
This leads to my question regarding the Time magazine cover story of October 04 by, Jeff Kluger, called The God Gene. And I was wondering about your impressions of it. And second of all, in being raised Roman Catholic myself, I was always taught to believe that the division between science and faith was ultimate, and when the two worlds did combine, that it was an end of times, yet, you know, being the one world religion. Yet, if the ultimate religion actually is God's way of communicating, again, through mathematics and everything else, is it actually... does it more relate to the 2012 scenario, to where it's actually an age of enlightenment more so than an age of ending?
All right. Well, that's a lot of questions. Two big ones, anyway. Where would you like to begin, Greg?
Well, the two very big, broad questions.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we can combine the two of them together. The idea of marrying science and spirituality, they are two information systems. And again, I'm looking at this from a scientific perspective and looking at it as a unifying principle without the cultural implications. I am agreeing and acknowledging those cultural implications are there. For me, the focus is a focus of peace. We find ourselves in a world today where peace is a strategic imperative. It's no longer a nice philosophical concept. We've got to find a way to become greater than our differences. We need a unifying principle that excludes no one to do that. Spirituality is an information system that has been around for at least 8,000 years, and it is a very complete information system that uses a different language. Science, Western science, is only about 400 years old. It's good, it simply is incomplete. When we marry those two kinds of information together, it yields a wisdom greater than either one do individually, and I think it behooves us to do that. I believe that that is the ultimate wisdom of where we're going there.
How were you struck by that article, The God Gene?
I did not read that article in its entirety. I saw it in the airport.
Really?
Yeah. Was that? Is it?
I would have thought you'd have been all over that.
I was out of the country the week that came out.
Well, then get it and read it.
Well, I will. And I agree with what the gentleman's saying. The ultimate experience, the direct experience of what this means, that is an experience that affects the faith of the individual. What we're looking at is a Western scientific, concrete, tangible, left-brain way of telling us we're part of something greater and we're part of one another and we're no fluke of nature.
And I would like to add that years ahead of that article was Matthew Alper. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Greg. Actually, this is Greg from Henderson, Nevada, KXNT.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Greg.
I've got one question that's probably won't be too popular with the bulk of the listeners, and a rhetorical question. With this code, it almost sounds like, you know, the DNA strand, maybe humanity itself, was a genetic engineering project, cedar project, and maybe Yahweh is actually not God, but the race that created it, and the Yahweh will live on forever through you.
Okay, well, I think he admitted that could be so in the beginning of the show.
Maybe it was the race civilization in India that destroyed itself. Okay, and sorry. And I guess the rhetorical question was, for the events in India with elephants bursting into flames and birds turning to ash, how did anyone survive to give those accounts?
Well, I don't think they did, right, Greg?
Well, according to the Mahabharata is the 100,000-line text that recorded this. The Bhagavad Gita is a smaller portion of that. The two civilizations destroyed themselves. They rendered the land useless for thousands of years. Obviously, someone survived long enough to talk about this. And there are records of that battle on the temple walls in Egypt as well. We photographed the hieroglyphs that actually show a battle unfolding. You know, something happened a long time ago. We're still trying to figure out what it was.
All right. On our international line, you're on the air with Greg Braden. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Steve from Toronto.
Yes.
Yasha Yahweh bless you for telling the truth. Greg, just one question and maybe one correction. Does it actually come out God? Because the origins of God in Hebrew is not a righteous title for Yahweh. And another question.
Hold on.
Well, sure. The clues that we followed were in the 4,000-year-old Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation, the third book of the Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And in it's a 1,000-line text, and in that text it actually equates the name of God we find in ourselves with the word God and the word eternal equally. Hmm. So the answer is yes, according to the Sefer Yetzirah.
Have you ever tried to use the word Yasha, which is Strong's Concordance word 3091, which means Yahweh is Savior?
I have not. All I did was I took the numbers I converted the DNA into numbers and then linked those to the letters of the Hebrew, the Arabic, Sanskrit alphabets, and then translated those directly into English.
So maybe you have some new numbers with Yasha.
Could be. If the numbers come out differently in deeper layers of the code, then that's certainly where we'll follow those.
You'll go where the numbers take you.
Precisely. Otherwise, we're imposing our beliefs, and that's where we're looking at those clouds, Art.
Gotcha. First-time caller line, perhaps a quick question. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air with Greg Braden. Extinguish your radio right away, please.
Yes. All right, then.
Thank you.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
Greg and Art.
Yes.
Good evening.
I'm very interested in what you have to say. It's most interesting and enlightening. What do you have to say about DNA?
Yes.
Have you read a book called Seeing with the Eyes of the Soul? About 6 volumes of it.
I have not. I don't get out much. I haven't read much. I've been busy translating DNA.
In this book here, you know, in these volumes, God says he lives in the heart. He lives in the heart of our hearts. Mm. He has a heart within our hearts. And anyway, it's so exciting, I've forgotten what I was going to ask.
Well, these are kind of different ways of seemingly saying the same thing.
Yes.
A heart within a heart. God within our bodies. All sort of the same thing.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a Catholic, and we sing we have many hymns to Yahweh, by the way.
Well, you do. You find almost universally. And again, Art, it comes back. Many listeners may be familiar with Heinrich Schliemann. the amateur archaeologist of the 19th century. He read the book, The Iliad, that was believed to be fictional. He simply said, what if these are literal instructions to an ancient civilization? He followed them step by step, and he found and excavated the ancient city of Troy. My question is, could the same thing be possible? All the texts that say, if you want to know who you are, look within, seek within, and ye shall find. Sefer Yetzirah tells us step by step how to do that. My question was, what if we take it literally? Where will it lead us, and where it led us is God eternal within the body thus far. We'll see where it goes from there.
And I'm going to be fascinated to see where it goes. All right, Greg, your book, The God Code, The Secret of Our Past, The Promise of Our Future, is available, I assume, in all the usual places, Amazon.com and so forth?
Barnes Noble, Amazon.com, wherever books are sold.
How have sales gone so far?
It is a bestseller. It went paperback in February of this year. And to be honest, I've been on the road the last 7 weeks. We just came back from the conference, International Conference on Science and Consciousness, where people were speaking from all over the world about this field that connects everything together and how ideas within the field affect us on a global level.
Was all of this a sort of a natural progression from zero point? I mean, there's a commonality, isn't there?
For me, it is, Art, because it's all about us becoming better people and hopefully creating a better world and doing it within the context of this time in history. So the answer is yes, that's the umbrella.
Listen, my friend, quite obviously, as you decode more, we will have you back. And I'm certainly looking forward to the coming layers.
Art, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for being such a gracious host and for having the forum so we can have these. I'm amazed that 3 hours went by so quickly.
Good night, my friend.
All right, good night.
Take care. That's it for tonight. See you tomorrow night. Don't forget, tell any hams, you know, to be listening tomorrow night because we'll repeat all that. Here's Crystal from the High Desert. Ciao.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?